podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sleep Suplex Retweet.
Hello, everyone. Back again for Saturday Draft Live. Hope you've all had an amazing week so far. Obviously, you're listening to us Saturday Draft Live, each Sleep Suplex Retweet on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast, you'll find us there. So please do check us out. We've got our social media pages on the Suplex Retweet for Twitter. We've got our Facebook page. And we've got our website, eatsleepsuplexretweet.com. You get our full back catalogue there. You can listen to every previous Saturday Draft Live episode on that. You can listen to our feature shows, Central, East, Meast, West. Listen to the Iconics, a quiz showdown. Everything, go check it out. And this week, I'm joined by none other than the podcast overlord himself, Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how are you doing?
Not bad, my man. How's things going?
Not too bad. Pretty good week at the pub last night. A few drinks, no, can't complain.
I miss those days.
But right now, we'll just get right battered into it. As always, you know, listen here, you know how the script goes. We do have the top three of the week. And coming in, joint second, is the Young Bucks. We'll speak with them first. The Young Bucks got 8 points, Stephen, this week. Obviously, in the team of Ross McLeod and Gary Morris, a win on Dynamite and a win on Collision. They've bounced back pretty well after the loss at Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. A favourite team, I think, of the draft. I think it's fair to say the Young Bucks, they've been picked. This is the 15th time they've been picked in 20 seasons, so they're always at the go-to. But this season, they seem to be getting things be a bit more consistent. Obviously, not many people. I know you and David will say that you predicted they would lose a Revolution, but no one else did. That maybe stepped back a wee bit. But yeah, it's a good solid week for them. This pairing with Okada seems like it'll be, you know, they'll be all over the TV right now. They've pretty much, they average about 35 a season. They've got about 20 odd just now. I think it was 25 when I checked it. So they should get a really good score. Yeah. The only time they've really beat 40 was the time you picked them in season 9. So be curious how high they get up. But if they continue this wrestling twice a week, stuff that they've got right now, then it could be nice, especially given the position that Gary and Ross are in, challenged at the top of the table.
I certainly give them a good shout for that kind of these final couple of weeks. We don't have a lot of going this season, so every point gathered now by anyone is critical. But the person that is joined second with the 18 points as well, Steve, is none other than you're in Stacey's own, your last round pick, Kishichi Okada. I hope I've said that right. Sorry, Grant, if I haven't. But I was 8 points this week, 9 points overall. Got a title match against Eddie Kingston on Wednesday. This last round pick has turned out to be pretty all right so far.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a punt at the time because we didn't know at that point where Okada was going to land. I think this was, I can't remember if this was at the point or round about the point that they had this rumour that he was going to show up in NXT. Which would be mad on the face of it now. But yeah, he's only been there a week and a half and 9 points. Considering second last pick of the full draft, there's worse punch you could have really taken, you know, and to go with him. And if he does win this title, I assume he's going to win the title. I mean, I don't think he's going to lose this early on in his run. I don't think he'll lose on TV at all. He might lose at Wembley depending on the match he gets, but I think he'll get I don't think he'll get pinned for a while. So yeah, to have a title match early on is good. The only shame for us is, of course, the fact that he has shown up as late as he has. He's shown up the second half of the season. We could have done with him getting a run early on, especially with Trick Williams and our team also being not on TV for that same amount of time. So that's probably the main reason set us back. But yeah, comeback could be on. You know, watch this space.
Right, well, we'll see what happens. But obviously, as Cokehead Tony Khan that's going to be doing the booking. But even if it's a DQ win for Okada, you know, maybe Pat gets involved or something like that. You never know. But
he's not getting pinned anyway. He's not getting pinned anyway. It's more if the Bucks screw Kenny or something like that. That's the only way he's going to lose. But I think it would look stupid if he gets some sort of loss at this point. So, but as you said, it's Tony Khan booking. So,
it's the three belts being defended on Wednesday, and then Eddie Kingston's defending just the Ring of Honor world title in a couple of weeks.
Is it defending the three of them? I thought it was just the Continental title.
Is it? The whole thing just fucking confuses me. It's a shit show. Either way, it's a title point for titles for you. Either way, if you can get the points, but those that did get the points, then the round one pick for Matt Smith and David Hockney of the Kabuki Warriors, they got 9 points this week, and they're also sitting pretty at the top of the top five newcomers table with 33.5 points. They're just 1.5 points ahead of Bron Breakker, who's in Ryder Wishes and Gary Kerrigan's team. So I don't think they'll see this as some sort of vindication, considering that they are the, out of all the round one teams scored, they are fifth out of sixth, only Bailey being lower on 23. But it must bring them some solace to see their round one pick at the top of the scoring weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they will say, well, Dave has said, you know, if he'd put Kabuki Warriors captain, we'd be fourth. You know, that's like, I mean, come on. That's like, I can't think of an example. That's like if a Scottish Premier League team talked about being the third best team in the league. You know, if we did that, we'd be this. Like, no, it's still. I mean, we have probably slated that pick from the two of them a lot, but if you kind of take captaincy points out of it, the third best pick of the full season, you know, the one we said they should have went for is Drew, and he's 15 points ahead, so that was the only one that probably would have been a better shout for them. But yeah, they're doing well. I think if we're going to dig at Matt and Dave, we need to probably dig at the rest of Matt and Dave's team, which is a bit of a slack in the kind of decision makings they make. I mean, they went with Truth to be captain, and at the time Truth was everywhere. Truth has not been on there as much, so there's that aspect to it. But yeah, Kabuki, I mean, as well as that, when we slated the pick, I don't think any of us would have thought they would have defended the title as much as they had. Defending on NXT, defending it on Raw. I mean, there's nothing kind of slated at the moment, but things kind of seem to be in place that they could defend it at Mania. It's hard to tell at this point, but I mean, they're at least as well, they're appearing as well, because Damage Control are pretty much on Raw a lot right now as well. So, yeah, it's probably a good pick. I just think they probably could have got away. I still think they could have got away to get them round two, especially where they were in the snake draft. They're fifth in the snake draft, you know. It was, you know, Gunther was still there, you know, Priest was still there. Jey Uso was picked after them as well. So I think there were still options there, but yeah, it's not a bad pick. It's just where they picked it.
Right, we'll wait and see how that kind of pick turns out at the end of the season. We kind of do our comparisons and see how everything's playing out. But we will go on to our usual overall table, and still sitting pretty at the bottom is V squared of Randy Weish and Gary Kerrigan on 90 points. And then 18 points ahead of them is the draft bastards of Tom Brock and Robert Shaw, 108. Matt Smith and Dave Hockney are only 2 points ahead of them, with the West End Booty at 110. Then yourself, Stephen and Stacey. Strathclyde, Barton, Bell is 121 points. Bit of a big gap up to the Billy Goats, 152.5 points for myself and David Campbell. And then another gap kind of going to the linchpins of 178 points, Ross McLeod and Gary Morris, who sit 14 points behind just two guys and some dice and 182 points. That is our leading men themselves, Scott McLeod and Grant McRobbie. Scott going on to try and do a five-time win, a back-to-back win. Grant trying to get his first win. There's certainly a story there, and I think everyone's looking to take that apart. Kind of, it's not been their best scoring week, though, Stephen. I mean, you kind of look at the folk that have got points this week. Ross and Gary got 33. Myself and David Campbell got 24. You and Stacey got 19. Scott and Grant only got 11. So there's been a huge capitalization from our three teams, especially of the linchpins of Billy Goats and Strathclyde, Barden, Bell, is the ones that are kind of closest to them on the table. We have the gap is certainly closed somewhat there.
Yeah, I mean, the 22-point swing between them and the second-place team of Ross and Gary, which is an absolute crazy swing at this particular point. I mean, I think Ross and Gary have been really unlucky because their weekly averages have been great all season. They've been 20 above all season. They've just had that, Grant and Scott had that two-week spell where they got the 100-odd points in that particular point. But yeah, Drew McIntyre's not been on as many segments. He's not wrestled as much on TV, which has probably slowed them down. So they're still hoping to get that gap, but there's still so much to play for. Obviously, two-night WrestleMania, you know, it'll be interesting how the TV goes, you know, especially because we've got a couple of wrestlers playing double duty. A couple of them haven't even been picked, but yeah, in the tag team tournament as well, you know, that throws out a span or two. There's so much to play for. It's going to be an exciting end to the season.
Aye, absolutely. Tell us how that excitement's carried over to the Listeners League and the Listeners League Cup, Stephen. What's happening over there?
Yeah, it's quite definitely an exciting place to be, the Listeners League at the moment. Trading jives at each other constantly. We've got the covers of the cup. There were six teams left in the cup. We'll go into that in a minute. But in terms of the table, there's a nice solid group kind of between second and 11th at the moment, just 20 points separating that pack. But in fifth place, we've got Mike Nutton, the Sports Entertainers, on 164 points. 3 points behind Bertie Wanless with 60 million down the drain. That's an Arsenal reference, Jack, just in case you didn't realise it. You know, but I don't know why he always makes these references because they're doing really well. So, third place, we've got Johnny Adam with the tightest slide. Good week for him. He's joint second, actually, with Anthony Fitzpatrick, with Dwayne Stole My Match. That name is no longer relevant. Sorry, Anthony. they're both on 170.5 points, but there's still a bit of a gap to the top spot, which is taken by Colin Blackford of Colin's Elite Squad on 112 points. Not as good a week for Colin, but he has built up quite a good lead going on. He's got Drew McIntyre, Liv Morgan, Sami Zayn. Of course, we didn't really mention Sami Zayn with his gauntlet performance. He came just short of actually being in the top scorers of the week. He's also got the Acclaim, Nia Jackson, Randy Orton. So it's decent points for him despite not having the best week, but that's a good solid team, and you can see why he's built up such a lead. The Listeners League Cup is really interesting, though. Obviously, the Listeners League Cup this season is a tag team format, so they're in teams. This is the last week we've got two teams going out in the 1 week, and he's beaten the whipping boy of the Listeners League Cup this season, Michael Clottier. He's been hanging on to a thread. He's been carried. I mean, he has been carried, you know, like an Omos match by Simon Bell. But their luck ran out this week. They get eliminated on 25 points. But what is quite interesting is the other team who got eliminated was the team consisting of fifth place Mike Dunn and first place Colin Blackburn. They went out last night. They were, wow. I think they were second or third going into last night. There was a couple of teams who were worried. I'm trying to find the old screenshot to kind of. They were second in the table going into last night's scores. But a good night performances from, I think most of the teams had Tony Storm, who got a win on Rampage last night, which helped a lot of them. And they slipped down. They finished on 33 points for the week. Just 4 points behind Ross Brady and Tam McKay, and 5 points behind the teams of Andy Springer and Jonathan Napier and Craig Forsyth and David Jindo. I'm going to butcher this name, David J. I'm not even going to get the wrath of David Campbell for pronouncing David's name. So that was a really, really tight Listeners League Cup this weekend. As I say, that's the thing about the Cup. Only four of the eight remaining potential winners, because the thing about the Cup is, there'll be a team who wins it before WrestleMania weekend, and then when it gets to WrestleMania weekend, which will obviously include Collision and NXT Stand and Deliver as well, that becomes a one-on-one contest to see who will get promoted. So there's still, but of the eight remaining people in it, only four of them are in the top 10. So that's what's becoming quite interesting. There's a lot of ones where one person's carrying the other one. I mean, obviously, Michael Clottier has been carried for the full tournament so far. But you've got the likes of Martin Best, who was top of this week's, along with Johnny Adam. He's sitting in 20th in the overall league. So that's what's really interesting in this one. As we say, because it's all done week by week, there's still a lot of interesting things that could go with it. But yeah, that is an intriguing kind of way it's sitting right now. And then obviously next week, only one team will go out. So a bit more leeway for some of these teams. But yeah, Listeners League is really heating up at the moment with two of the big names going out the cup, which probably means that there'll be nobody from the Listeners League drafting in first next season, which should be a relief, hopefully.
It's certainly shaping up. Colin Blackburn must be silently raging after a kind of a slower week for him, and it's kind of it's cost him in that cup. We'll move on. And obviously, Stephen, myself, and Dave spoke about AEW last week, just about the kind of the points scored and how that kind of has played out in the draft this season. So I thought we could take a look at NXT, mainly because NXT has done shit, for lots of a better word, this season. Throughout the whole season, in it, those that have picked competitors from NXT, 83 points have been scored altogether. So that's only 10.6%. The closest to them is SmackDown on 177.5. So that's way more than double. And season's gone by, NXT has been a very good scoring show. But I feel in like recent trends of the draft, we've not seen NXT perform as well.
No, it's a hard one, because the thing with NXT, especially kind of at the moment, is there's a lot of kind of, I'd say, lesser names who are starting to, they're starting to feed in. I mean, I would say I'm somebody probably follow NXT a lot more than other people because of this draft. It's not as bad a show as what people say when the 2.0 thing started off, but there is a lot of people in there who you would look at them and you'd be like, I'm not 100% sure who they are. And I think that they're obviously building them up. And that's the type of thing that kind of, I think, has slowed it down. A lot of the kind of main established names, you've like, say, Tiffany Stratton's exact. She's obviously now on SmackDown. You've got Bron Breakker, who's the kind of exception to the rule, because he's on two shows as well. He's technically on SmackDown. So There is that aspect of it as well. But yeah, I think there's not, especially in this season, obviously there's not a lot of draft picks because it's a smaller season in terms of, because obviously we're on teams, which I think is went against NXT, because there's nobody really standing out in it that you think, yeah, they're going to do well. Whereas in the past, when there's a bigger one, you could probably take a punt on somebody. I mean, I took a punt on Cora Jade like 2.5 years ago, and she did a decent number with that kind of War Games thing, but there's nobody really you think, yeah, let's take a punt on them, because they've either been called up or we don't really know who they are yet.
Yeah. I think that, it's been right there, so Bron Breakker is the highest scoring NXT competitor, 32 points, and that's in Ryan, Deletion, Gary Kerman's team. Second to them is Lyra Valkyria. But joint second is an interesting pick. The tag team partner of Bron Breakker in NXT, Baron Corbin, he's been in NXT for a while, and he's not scored as many points. Obviously, winning the tournament, the Dusty Classic, and then winning the belts. It's been a great reign of fame, a fortune for Baron Corbin. I don't know how that plays into the value of the draft, considering, like, if we're speaking about next season. This season would have been a great wild card pick. No one could have seen it coming. But next season, what happens after Stand and Deliver, when Breaker's probably in SmackDown full time? How long do they have the belts, and how long does that keep Corbin in a good point scoring position?
I mean, the point where Corbin was kind of always kind of a steady kind of middle of the draft pick at points, and they would always score terribly. But yeah, this kind of renaissance he's having on NXT has been really good. I seen him do an interview actually during the week, apparently, when he said his contract was up at the end of the year, and then this kind of NXT run has kind of made, he's obviously decided to stay on. Obviously, we picked the teams before the end of the kind of Dusty tournament, which kind of probably fate played into him not getting picked. I mean, Breakker was picked mainly because he had the Rumble appearance, which obviously he kind of steamrolled a bunch of guys, so he knew he was going to be doing well after that. But Corbin's future, I think, is very dependent. Obviously, as you say, Breaker's going to SmackDown. We know that. The big question is obviously, will Corbin go with him? Because if Corbin goes with him and the two of them are on SmackDown, that'd be great, because it's a nice kind of space on SmackDown for somebody like that. And I say Corbin, he's been on the main roster a lot, so he's a nice solid hand. And I think Corbin's issue has always been his gimmick. He's always been one of the absolute terrible gimmicks, which make people think, oh, he's an absolute terrible wrestler. He's got a very creative wrestler moveset, I think, from the SmackDown WWE games. Some of his moves are like, oh, I want to pick the ones you just want to pick, even though none of the moves make sense. So I think Corbin gets a better raw deal with that one. But yeah, I think his future does really depend, because obviously he's went for the NXT title before, didn't get it, obviously. And then if he didn't have the team with Breaker, you wonder where he goes to just become just a mid-card guy again. But I think that's kind of, again, part of the reason why he didn't get picked as well, because obviously the War Dogs, I'm going to call them War Dogs, team is there. They could have lost in the final. And then obviously they split ways and Corbin does nothing. So I think if they're still together by draft night, I think he's a good punt, especially if it's going to be a big pool.
Let's talk about then the two big names that I definitely feel one was definitely a hotter commodity than the other. And I think that proved true when you and Stacey picked them round three. And the other was picked by Matt Smith and David Hockney in round three. And that is Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. And two huge scorers in the past. Two very high-valued commodities in the draft in the past. Both high-valued again. Carmelo Hayes only on 13 points and Trick Williams only on 2. Obviously, the nature of the storyline does play into effect with that, but two big names, lackluster performance. Does that affect stock going into next season?
I would say no, given the circumstances. With Trick, especially, he's been written off TV for 4 weeks. You know, well, I think it was 4 weeks. So that kind of takes the points away immediately. Obviously, he kind of started the season at a bit of a deficit because actually, I think Standard Deliver was actually not a point scoring tournament, to be honest, to be fair, which was lucky because he lost two matches on that tournament. Not Standard Deliver, sorry, whatever the pay-per-view was, the last one, Vengeance Day. So he was pretty much, he just became a scorer. I think the issue with him this season now is I don't know if he'll wrestle between now and Stand and Deliver. And obviously, it's not going to be enough to get him probably a lot of points. He probably will win that match, I think, with Hayes. He's got to win the match with Hayes. So, and then he'll be quite well-placed, I think, for next season. I could see him in next season. If he's still in NXT, I think he might become the champ. This kind of run next season might be time to get it. Or a championship. So, yeah, I think he's fine. Carmelo, I think, is maybe a different prospect because we don't really know what's going to happen to him. I mean, they obviously placed him on SmackDown for a bit. So, every likely, if he loses the feud to the Trick, he'll go on to SmackDown. And then it's a case of what's he going to do? Will he get a decent push? He's more of an unknown. So, I think for next season, I think Trick's will still probably be a high up pick. But Carmelo, it might be maybe something we maybe see around 5-6 potentially. Next season. Not that he might not be a good scorer, I think people won't be confident of what he's going to do. Again, this obviously depends on, obviously, as well, what day we draft, you know. Mm-hmm. Some day we draft early in the week and we don't really see the shows. Some days we get draft in the middle of the week and we've seen what happened with Raw, etc. So it's all dependent on that as well. But I don't think Carmelo will be a high up on the draft pick next year.
It's very interesting to say the least, but NXT has fallen by the wayside in the draft, so to speak. And I mean, in a big season, like the transfer window coming up, if you don't get the main big hitters, I think a drafter's got to look at potentially foregoing NXT at that point if they can't get a main competitor in that show.
I think they have been a bit of a victim to more consistent booking on the main roster, as well as the fact that AEW's roster is so big that you could take a punt on somebody in AEW who's not very high up the totem pole, you know, because if you look at some of the guys on AEW to get a comparison, you've got a guy like Brian Cage on 11 points, you know. I can't remember really Brian Cage wrestling consistently on a lot of shows, you know, Luchasaurus on 11 points, you know, Trent Barrett on 11 points, the likes of that, you know. Could you guarantee a similar punt on NXT? That's the kind of problem with the kind of small roster to it. And as you say, there is, with a big season, I mean, there's even, we're looking at the guys we've got on the scores as well. There is potential punts in there that we wouldn't see coming, the likes of Oba Femi, for example. He would not have been on, was he on anybody's radar? I mean, you and David might claim he was on your radar. David claims that everybody's on his radar.
Look, what the Belly Goats think and what they don't think is of no concern to you, Stephen.
Was he on your radar, though? That's what I'm asking.
I can either confirm or deny that. You just think about why you didn't think about Oba Femi, right? You let us deal with when we want to deal with.
Yeah, but the fact there is a lot of guys like that. If you get a guy like that who you take a punt on and then things work high for him, then terrific. But there's not many of them about, is what I'm trying to say.
I get you. I think on that note, we will end the show there. Hey, a good 25 minutes. Cannot be argued with on a Saturday morning. Thank you very much for coming on, Stephen. It's been a good show.
No, thank you, Jack. Always a pleasure.
And hope you all have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Go have a few drinks. Go enjoy your night. Go do whatever you want to do. Just make sure you have fun. We will see you next week. Tune in the rest of the week for whatever shows we bring out. And just always listen to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. We'll see you later on. Sports Social Podcast Network.